Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us. A few transmission problems this morning. Unfortunately, apparently some of the upstate may not be hearing us at the moment, but we're glad for those who are hearing us. It's currently 73 degrees at the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, downtown 73. Anderson and Clemson checking in at 72 degrees. Today it'll be partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid, again, with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. The chance of rain is at 40%. So there's your weather forecast as you make your way on out this morning. Let's just start out with the scriptures today. We're just thinking about our favorite politicians, thinking about Judge John Roberts. And, of course, whenever I do that, Romans 13 comes to mind. And I like, you know how I like to just insert different names into this passage to replace the generic or generalized terms with some specifics. See if this works for you. Let every soul be subject to Ted Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein. For there is no authority except from God, and Dianne Feinstein and Ted Kennedy are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists Dianne Feinstein and Ted Kennedy resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For Dianne Feinstein and Ted Kennedy are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of Ted Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein? Do what is good, and you will have praise from Ted Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein. That's especially if you live in Boston and you have a big construction company and you want to get like an $8 billion road built and make a lot of money off the state pork projects. Ted's real good at giving out money there. He's doing good to you. Praise, this is what we call praise, biblical praise. We can praise him for giving biblical blessings upon people for his massive spending. For Ted Kennedy, says, and Dianne Feinstein are God's ministers to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For Ted Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein do not bear the sword in vain, for they are God's ministers, avengers to execute wrath on him who practices evil, like anybody in the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party or Ron Paul or just anybody who stands up for the truth. Now, actually, There's one fallacy in this, and that is that in the United States of America, at least theoretically, we do not have rulers who are monarchs. So Ted Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein are not principally the highest authority of the land, but they are lower authorities, and therefore, you know, we have to give some credence to this sort of thing. And why do I say that? Well, because this passage is not written specifically about the supreme authority. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, Peter writes, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, you're not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So you see, there's not just in mind here the head rulers, but submission is to be to the petty tyrants, to the congressmen and other people perhaps as well, insofar as they can be submitted to. But however, there's another piece of this fact. In the United States, our government, theoretically at any rate, is set in a different course. The highest law of the land is, now if you've been to a public school, this may be shocking, but just brace yourself. The highest law of the land is the Constitution, as well as the Declaration of Independence. That is our thesis for governments. That's right. That's the highest law, which means that if you're truly going to be obeying the government or obeying the state, then your ultimate allegiance, and political allegiance, I should say, And the thing you have to obey the most is the Constitution. And what happens when Ted Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein disobey the Constitution? Or George Bush, or Judge John Roberts, if he gets in there, becomes another the new suitor on the bench, or the new Kennedy on the bench. Well, you will have an obligation, according to the Scriptures, to obey the primary authority, the one that's the highest authority. That's the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Let's read that again with putting in the... It's a little abstract, a little fuzzy. Might be a little bit difficult to think about at 7:38 in the morning, but let's read it again. Let every soul be subject to the Constitution, for there is no authority except from God, and the Constitution is appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the Constitution resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers, that is, the Constitution, is not a terror to good works but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the Constitution? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For the Constitution is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for the Constitution does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. It's too hard to read an abstraction in, I know, because the passage is talking about, and only thinking about a human being. That's the only kind of government they knew at that time. And in fact, most of the history of the world has been that way. But the point is, we have a strange government, a unique government. Well, it's strange now for other reasons, but specifically in terms of the founding fathers' understanding and in terms of what special governance we were given here. The Constitution is the highest law of the land, and behind it are the state constitutions. And no one can subvert those documents or the philosophy and the Declaration of Independence without becoming a traitor and without becoming a subversive person under the Constitution and under the rules of this land. And therefore, we have a very different set of principles which we can operate by here in America compared to other places. Well, I have a couple of questions that came in over the last day or so. One's really long. We'll read that a little bit later. One's a little bit shorter. This is a message that came into the website from a person named Pro-Lifer. Well, that's a real it's a real specific name, so I don't mind mentioning the name here on the air. Pro-Lifer. And they said, one question that I've never been able to get a good answer from is, and excuse the grammar on this, pro-lifer may have been writing real fast, or may have been public school educated, or both. If it's both, it's really a problem. One question that I've never been able to get a good answer from is, does your pro-life stance exclude war? I think that's when does your pro-life stance exclude war, death penalty, and welfare? Aren't these all vital to showing that life is important to everyone, not just those fortunate enough to be live in accommodating environments? If we should believe your stance that the commandment of thou shalt not kill applies to the unborn, should we not also apply it to the murder of adults? And if we can interpret this commandment, we can other scriptures be subjected to the same rules? Or does that mean that's when can other scriptures be subjected to the same rules? Well, it's a very strange thing to write to me, actually, and perhaps he's presuming something, or perhaps he just didn't read some of the things that I write. But at any rate, here's the deal, pro-lifer, and I appreciate the comment, no disparagement intended, by the way, in reading this. All questions are welcome, and we're happy to talk about these things on Christian Worldview. That's the whole point of the program. Here's the story. Abortion is murder. There is no question in my mind that there's a human being one day before birth and one day after birth, 6 months before birth and 6 months after birth. It doesn't matter that the infant is at a stage of development, or the zygote, or the fetus, or the embryo, whatever stage it is, whatever stage of development it is. There is no question that we have a life. We have someone who is living as a human being. It's not a mouse, not a monkey, not a fish, a human being. It's not a glob of cells with no DNA or no significance. It is someone who is alive and well. So there is a murder going on there at any time. Why would that be any different for an adult human being? Well, I don't know. Why would it be? If you murder somebody, if you take away an innocent life, someone who does not deserve to die for some crime, for instance, then you've murdered either way. It doesn't matter how old they are, if they're 50 years old or 80 years old in a wheelchair, or if they're unborn. The question of the death penalty is more interesting, and we're going to discuss that right when we get right back from this coming break here.
Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Hope we're helping you think a little bit better today. We're trying to do that. Getting a little bit biblical on you today. I know that's tough to do on Christian Worldview, especially in this day and age where people don't like to read the whole counsel of God. And people sometimes criticize us here and elsewhere for talking about something other than the Romans road to salvation. But you know, I'm holding a Bible in my hand. And although it does have the salvation message, and we do encourage you to believe in Jesus Christ, to repent from your sins and to turn to Him in faith, because it is your only hope in both life and death. And if you don't want to spend eternity in hell, then you need to repent and believe in Jesus. There's no question about that from a Christian's point of view. But you know what? The book is not just about salvation from sin. The book has all sorts of other things that it talks about. Stewardship of money. It talks about science. Not as much perhaps as a textbook would, of course, but it still talks about it. It talks about public policy and government. It talks about how we should live our lives in this world, how we should transform our world. And therefore, we're going to read the whole counsel of God, and we're going to try to spread some information and news to you that will help you be better as a Christian. Here's something from Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse 6. "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's blood shall be shed. By man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made him. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. So, God gave a command to the time during the time of Noah, saying, "Look, if you kill somebody, then you're going to be killed." Now, this is pre-Moses. This is pre-theocracy, and therefore we have to take this scripture seriously, even if we were, and I'm not, but even if we were dispensationalists. And try to carve up the scripture in such a way that we would not have to obey certain things in the Old Testament because they're not repeated in the New Testament and so forth. And I realize there's something, among New Covenant theology, that's not covenant theology, that would say the same thing or something similar to that, not go quite as far. But either way, here we have Genesis 9:6. It's a pre-theocratic command that if you're a murderer, you get your you can be murdered. Now, there is a problem, having said that, and having said here, right here, from the lips of the Tyranny Response Unit, that capital punishment, in theory, is a good thing to do, or it's right. Capital punishment for murder. Doesn't say here for kidnappers in the scriptures, or from, you have to get that elsewhere. I mean, that would be, perhaps, Mosaic. Somebody could criticize it, or be concerned because of that. But it's, insofar as the death penalty, in and of itself, for murder, it's pretty clear. It seems, at least to me, that it's a possibility. It's something that could be done. Wouldn't be wrong to do it, since you asked the question about capital punishment. The question I have is, in this day and age, when we live under a corrupt state, and in every age that there's a corrupt state, which is almost always, why do we want to have a death penalty initiated or instituted by a state? If the state is so corrupt that they end up killing many innocent people, then I don't want the death penalty. In fact, although I detest people that murder, and they ought to be, I don't have a problem with murderers being put to death, believe me. In fact, every abortion doctor should be put to death. How's that? Does that sound radical to you? Why is that radical to you? Are they not committing murder against an unborn? Hey, if they're going to be murdering unborn people, I have no problem with inflicting upon them the capital punishment, the death penalty for murdering somebody else. So having said that, I have a real problem if they lined up 1,000 such murderers and executed them, and then there were just 4 or 5 or 10 or whatever the number is, percentage-wise, of completely innocent people that have been railroaded by some bureaucrat or some Ted Kennedy or Dianne Feinstein or some other wicked ruler, maybe even Judge John Roberts, to be killed. Because I can only imagine what it must be like if it were me. Somebody, they took me away and put me on death row for being the Tyranny Response Unit, for speaking out, fabricated some charge, had some lying district attorney get in there. Well, I have a problem with that. I don't want to see anybody innocent killed, because that's murder also, murder by the hands of the state, and I'd rather have none of them executed than have some innocents like that be executed. And the problem I have with states is that they are so corrupt today, so politicized, that I can't believe that they're instituting the death penalty appropriately. So, that is not a waffling answer, by the way. That is a principled answer. You've heard me say, in theory and in principle, the death penalty is not a problem. But there is a problem with states implementing death penalties today. And therefore, in general, I'm going to come out against death penalty by states today. But it doesn't mean I'm against the death penalty in principle. If I could find a way, as it used to be, that we had the common law ruling in local areas, and that a judge was actually in a tribunal instituted under a common law would find a way to convict a murderer in a local sense and a local community, and not be subjected to these politicized issues, and they decide to go out and hang him because he murdered, Joe in the bar or something like that, like in the Old West, or if that's what happened in the Old West, how do I know? Then I wouldn't have a problem with that. But it's not the way it works today, folks. It's not the way it works, unfortunately. So there's the answer to that part of the question. I appreciate Pro-Lifer writing in and asking about that. Then you also talked about war and welfare. Well, war is murder when it's not done in self-defense. I don't know why you would have thought that I didn't have that that stance. If you just read my papers recently on self-defense against criminals and the state, and including the state, as well as some of the other papers, it's very clear that I'm opposed to aggressive warfare, and aggressive warfare is murder. You can't go over and just start killing people because of your oil friends or because you want more power or whatever. It doesn't matter what the legalized reason or color of law reason is that George Bush does what he does. He's still guilty of murder in my mind. That's another radical statement really going to shock some people, I'm sure. Having said that, if there is a war of defense, self-defense, where we're being attacked by the Lincolnite invaders coming down to our country trying to subvert our freedoms and liberties, and we band together in a war effort to attack or repel the invader, then I do not think this is murder. I do not have a problem with this, because anytime you're being aggressed, you can indeed respond with force. And so, at any rate, the final thing you mentioned here is welfare. What do we do with welfare? Well, it's very strange that you have it on the list here. Welfare is evil. Why? Because it's stealing, and because it's allowing people to be indolent and lazy. Both of these things are forbidden in the scriptures. Laziness, theft, indolence, these things are all forbidden, and therefore it's wrong. So, I don't know what that has to do with pro-life, war, death penalty, and murder. It seems like a little bit disjointed there, but there's my opinion. I've said enough about welfare. And you're listening to Christian Worldview. We're giving you the Christian Worldview right now as we speak. And we welcome your comments today and questions, 864-244-8177. We're going to jump to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you're listening this morning, and we have our first caller on the line. We'd like to go right to the phone. Who am I speaking to? My phone says I'm speaking to Bobo. Is that right?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're on the air. Am I speaking to Bobo? That says your name is Bobo. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. A dedicated listener of yours.
All right. Well, appreciate that. I didn't want to misspeak here when I saw the name come up on the caller ID, so I just wanted to check with you first.
Yes, sir. But my thing was, when I listened to your talk of welfare, the way the whole thing is kind of messed up, if you can forgive me, there's kind of echo in the phone. But I was listening to how the states are corrupt with such a punishment that they have for people that are on both on it and both those that are the ones that are paying into the system. For instance, a man who is responsible for raising his children, that brings the state bring the state into the relationship between father and son, is motivated by not being punished for what he does. In a certain sense, like child support, there's people that serve 6 months at a time for non-support.
Okay, so what you're trying to say is welfare has something to do with the are you trying to say there's a connection between welfare and the death penalty? I'm missing this here. Can you
explain? Well, I'm talking about welfare in a certain sense to the to punishments that are not deserved. I mean, the whole state, when you were talking about corruption of states, I mean, we're dealing with a system here that incarcerate people any way and every way they can.
I see. Well, that's a great point. I mean, it is another facet of government corruption or state corruption today, is that they punish people that don't deserve to be punished, at least by any righteous standard. But they set up their rules to please the self-interest of their own self-interest or their special interest groups. And so we have corruption of justice, and I'm sure you're quite right, as it would be about any other reason people are incarcerated. And so I appreciate that point, that clarification. That's a great, I'd missed that in the email from the writer pro-lifer.
I mean, I believe that people should take care of what's theirs, but at the same time, we should not have people locked up, you know, serving heavy amounts of time to get them further behind.
Yep.
And once they're behind, the only thing you're doing is breaking up a family unit that could possibly be together in a certain sense.
Yeah, and this is a great point. There's no way that a person can actually provide for his own if he's in jail, and certainly
especially in jail.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and taxpayers, of course, are paying for him to be there, so they're being robbed as well. You know, I really appreciate some of the Christian Reconstructionists who have written on this subject, and here's some overlap between the liberty of conscience perspective and Christian Reconstruction. One of the best mm-hmm. ways that we can actually solve true problems, if there truly is a crime, or not, even if you wouldn't call it a crime, a problem with a father not providing for his own, you can do other things, other ways to get him to support through restitution, through forcing him to labor, or, you know, in some certain circumstances, under in a certain job. There are a whole lot of more efficient and effective ways of getting this guy to be responsible by simply giving him a job and making the guy work. Putting him into a cell and forcing him to sit there and do nothing is very counterproductive. It's a stupid idea that has come up by a bunch of statists. Actually, the whole penitentiary system was a Quaker idea, where they thought you would get in a cage and become penitent as you contemplated your sins. And over the years of contemplating your sins, you would come out reformed. It's an absolutely preposterous idea. And yet that is what drives a lot of the philosophy of prison time today. But I appreciate that that comment. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, though, I believe other than serving time, these fathers that are what we would call deadbeat dads in nowadays times, they're going to work in some way or the other because they got to support themselves. Mm-hmm. I believe in taking their wages, as if the government would do if someone had a past due government loan.
Yeah, okay. Well,
upon taking those wages, that's what should be issued out to their children versus taxpayers being robbed. But for supporting these non-supporters and keeping up the prison systems, you know, versus everything else, I think that, you know, our state is amending just about everybody's right to do anything anymore.
Well, that's a great comment, and I agree, and that may be one way to deal with it. Anyway, we've come up to the top of the hour break. I really appreciate the call this morning, Bobo. Hope you have a great day, and hope you call back again soon. And thanks for listening and spreading the word about Christian worldview.
All right.
And, Bobo, by the way, where are you calling from?
Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay, good. Well, we're glad to hear from you from Greenville. All right, we'll talk to you later, Bobo. Thanks a lot. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for our top of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently, Greenville-Spartanburg area is 73 degrees. Anderson and Clemson down at 72 degrees. Partly cloudy today, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain at 40%. There's a couple of stories coming up here, and I'll give a couple of announcements as well. First of all, we have Judge John Roberts giving mixed signals on abortion. Conflicting positions on abortion reveals lack of proper training given to lawyers in most American law schools regarding the rightful biblical moral foundation or law. Why, is this some great surprise? How come they couldn't figure this one out before? That law schools aren't telling us about the truth? I think we just, in our Institute of the Constitution class, I think Dr. Eidsmo revealed that the vast majority of, I think it was 70% of all constitutional law courses the students are not required to read the Constitution. And many lawyers have never read the Constitution, so that should tell you something right there. But anyway, likewise, this failure and others also, as applied and practiced by working attorneys throughout America, has perverted true justice in our nation. Here's two faces of John Roberts. First of all, it says, John Roberts, as Principal Deputy Solicitor General, Attorney of the United States for the Bush Senior Administration in 1991, said, "We continue to believe that Roe versus Wade was wrongly decided and should be overruled," in his brief. He says the court's conclusion in Roe that there is a fundamental right to an abortion finds no support in the text, structure, or history of the Constitution, brief said. Then here's the second face of John G. Roberts. John Roberts, as a candidate subsequently confirmed for the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, nominated by George W. Bush in 2003 in a Senate confirmation hearing, said, "Roe versus Wade is the settled law of the land, and there's nothing in my personal views that would prevent me from fully and faithfully applying that precedent." The words of John Roberts in his testimony before the 2003 are despicable. He is upholding the flawed legal theory that the legal precedents of the Supreme Court are the supreme law of the land, and even if they were, which they're not, child murder by abortion will never be lawful because God's law is always higher than man's law. That's very true. So what do we think? Was John Roberts just saying this relatively innocuous second statement so he could get confirmed? Is he really a pro-lifer underneath the skin or underneath it all? Well, we'll wait and see. We'll have to wait and find out. My guess is he's probably not. Why? Because I'm looking at the source for his nomination, George W. Bush. And do I have any reason to trust George W. Bush? No. None. Zero. The guy is good at getting elected. The guy is good at giving lip service to Christians and using the gullible right to achieve his own ends. So we'll wait and see. That's all we can say. We'll see if the guy gets confirmed, and we'll see what he actually rules. It's the only way you can actually tell. But if I'm a betting man, and I'm not, I'd be betting that he's going to be more of a neocon. Probably won't be a communist, but we were sort of predicting. I was talking to some Constitution Party people. We're figuring George Bush would just appoint an out-and-out communist. Roberts may not be a communist. We'll find out. Maybe I'll be wrong about that, too. But I don't think he's going to be a true conservative, either. Toronto. That's Canada, by the way. Just a little bit south of, or a little bit north. What is it? A little bit south or north of Detroit? I guess it's northeast. Toronto, Canada, legalized gay marriage Wednesday, becoming the world's fourth nation to grant full legal rights to same-sex couples. The Netherlands, Belgium, and Spain are the only other nations that allow gay marriage nationwide. Gay marriage is an oxymoron. It's stupid. Marriage is defined by a man and a woman. But this is the problem, folk, when you have a state that's proactive. Why is a state involved with marriage at all? This would not be a problem if we would remove marriage back to where it rightly belongs, which is a private contract before God between a man and a woman. And the only people that have authority over marriage, besides the couple, obviously, is the church. Why in the world have we done this? We should be up in arms trying to get states to not have anything to do with marriage. Anyway, churches have expressed some concern that the clergy would be compelled to perform same-sex ceremonies. Oh, compelled. So what? Why just disobey? It's not like it's a big deal. Charles McVetty, a spokesman for... Or you know what? I think I would do that. I'll just take that back. Let's see, I'm a Canadian minister, and two sodomites come in, or lesbians, and they want to get married. And you go through the ceremony, and you use it something like this. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to witness the joining of two reprobates as they continue down the path of sinful selfishness, desires, and evil in this world. We're going to watch them to perform their treachery to God and treasure up wrath against the day of wrath, which will be dispelled on them in the final day of judgment as they descend into the lowest parts of hell for the egregious sins which they are going to commit during this union. And we're dearly beloved, we'd like to help you, or we'd like you to help us welcome them to hell today by their actions. In Jesus' name. And then you might even let them, seal it all with one of their kisses. You know? Right in front of everybody, so everybody can see the dastardly deed they're about to do. So yeah, I think they should have me up there. Don't you think? I mean, I just made that up off the top of my head, but I bet I'd come up with a pretty good script for marrying sodomites. And we'll make it real clear. And these preachers up there that are getting paid by these congregations probably won't have the backbone to do it. Well, I'll just bring me on up there. I'll have the backbone to do it. I'll say what it is. We'll talk about these sodomites getting up there and getting married. And, we'll probably sell tickets. I'll probably make money on the event. We'll probably get enough people up there, sell some tickets to some gay weddings. Have the state compel me to marry these sodomites. Excuse me. Charles McVetty, a spokesman for Defend Marriage. I got to backtrack because somebody's going to criticize me for that. Listen, if you are gay or homosexual, we want you to know that we desire that you would be saved. We believe that you can be saved. We're not here to condemn you because you're a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. And we encourage you to fly to Jesus Christ for salvation. You can be saved. You have to stop sinning. You have to repent. You cannot continue a homosexual lifestyle. But we're not cold and calloused here at Christian Worldview and unwilling to admit that anyone can come to Christ and be saved. What I'm concerned about, what I was responding to, is the idea of having state-run gay marriage or a sodomite marriage. It's an abomination. Just ridiculous. So please don't don't misunderstand me. Continue on, Charles McVetti, a spokesman for the Defend Marriage Canada and president of Canada Christian College, said he was very sad the state has invaded the church, breached separation of church and state, and redefined a religious word. Well, he's very sad, as we all are very sad that these kinds of things happen, but we expect them out of the modern state. We're not surprised at all. Uncommon Dissent Forum, scientists who find Darwinism unconvincing. You're invited to hear leading scientists present the latest evidence regarding Darwin's speculations, August 4th, 5th, and 6th. Palmetto Expo Center, Greenville, South Carolina. Lecturers include Dr. Michael Behe, Dr. John Campbell, Dr. Jonathan Wells, Dr. Thomas Woodward. Early registration, $125, or if a teacher or student, $95. After June 4th, that's now, $145, or if a teacher or student, $115. Space is limited. Call to register at 864-288-3456. That's 864-288-3456. Hope you can attend. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back right after this break.
Dr. John Coben, get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we want to remind you all to visit tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com. Go to the related media site and or link and go down to the bottom where it says South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. You should all have signed this petition by now. If you haven't, run there and do so. It takes 30 seconds of your day. And after you sign it, send people the link and tell them to sign it. This is a petition that we're gathering here. It has 274 signatures at the moment. We need a lot more than that. We need folks everywhere who cherish life, liberty, and property as fundamental rights in America to sign this, and in opposition to the ruling in the Kelo case and the other things that government is doing in this day and age to subvert our rights. So please go to the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website to the related media area and go ahead and sign the petition. You'll find the link down below on the page. Also want to remind you, on the same site, there is the events link, and the events link would show tonight on the calendar two events. One is the Constitution Party that I'll be meeting at the Augusta Road branch of the Greenville Library at 7 o'clock tonight. Hope you can make it out to that. And if you can't, that you can come to the League of the South meeting tonight, which is going to be at the same time, actually a little earlier, 6:30, and it will be at the Prime Sirloin across from Greenville Mall in off of Woodruff Road in Greenville. This is going to be a special League of the South meeting where there is a promotion of the Christian Exodus movement and a number of other things that will be going on at that that special event. So we hope you can attend that. I'm going to be attending that as well. I'd already prior commitment said that I would be there tonight. I would actually like to go and listen to the South Carolina Constitution Party meeting too, but unfortunately, apparently unknowingly, they scheduled themselves on the same night as the League of the South. There were no other big meetings going on as far as people who love liberty this week, and they both these guys landed on the same night. So hopefully next month that's not going to happen again. You have to make a choice tonight, either the Constitution Party or League of the South meeting, which is going to be a promotion for Christian Exodus and the Sons of Liberty and a number of other things, exciting things that are going on. So hope you can attend one of the meetings tonight. And if you do come to the League of the South tonight, make sure that you introduce yourself to me and let folks know you heard about the meeting at Christian Worldview. Even if you go to the Constitution Party meeting tonight, let them know that you heard about it right here on Christian Worldview from Dr. John Coben. It'll be encouragement to people at the show here at this, knowing that our message is getting out and it's getting heard by people who are interested. Well, we have another email that came in. And this one came in from Peter. This is a long email, but I do want to read it and discuss some of the things which he brings up, because they're very important. And we've talked about them here a number of times on Christian Worldview. He says, John, I'm not exactly sure what the difference between Theonomists and Liberty of Conscience groups are. Well, okay. You explained it to me once before, but I was really not able to grasp it. I do not know this. I do know this, he said. He who frames the question always wins the argument, so to speak. I would say this. There are three eschatologies, mainly post, pre, and ah. Of the three, only one is right. Or, I suppose you could say, a fourth one is right. We just don't know what that fourth one is. Being an amillennialist, I'm just trying to cover all the bases here. Two of the three can't be right, nor can they all be wrong. Well, it could be if there's a fourth position that we don't know. One has to be right, meaning the two have to be wrong. Eschos, I think means prophecy, and eschatology would be the study of prophecy. This would be the major prophets, the minor prophets, the New Testament, and even more, starting with Genesis. So if one fans on their eschatology, then they have fanned on the major teachings of the Bible. Societies that don't have their eschatology right have shown themselves to get into major economic difficulties. John, I am of the belief that social financing is needed. The tithe is the means to do this. The tithe can be subverted by an attack on the law of tithing. It can be undercut by apportioning the tithe entirely to the church or the state rather than to the Lord's work directly from the people of God. It can be nullified by monetary inflation, whereby endowed funds are reduced to a pittance and long-range provisions made of none effect. Without the tithe, the need for social financing still remains, and thus the state tax takes over as well as statist corruption and misappropriation. The book of Malachi is the Lord telling the people of the dangers of not using his tax system or tithing system. God's taxes are never decapitalizing like man's, but rather, in this world, they are extremely capitalizing. A limited state without the tithe is an impossibility. And political conservatives who dream of such an order are fools and dreamers, as are anarchists who dream of existing with no state at all. Or, well, you could just say no government at all. Only a tithing society can shrink the state or civil government. Social financing is necessary. Either the people of God undertake it or the state will, just as there is no choice between God or no God, rather the choice is between Jesus or something else or someone else as God, a God. Men will be ruled by other men, just as children are ruled by their parents to a degree. The Lord can give nations good leaders or bad leaders. Leaders don't necessarily have to hold political office. John, you know more communities, such as the Southern League and the South Carolina Militia and such. I don't know the South Carolina Militia. I'd like to, but I don't know anybody from there, specifically. There are three tithes, the first fruit, poor, and rejoicing. A head or poll tithe for defensive purposes are applicable. I believe, don't quote me, it seems to me that tithing can be very involved discipline, as a two-year tenth strategy would necessarily have to require a tithe in hard, sound commodity money. More than likely, that means gold or silver, by the way, something like that. More than likely, there is a realignment of powers in the United States, not necessarily a Mason-Dixon line realignment, as the U.S. system of humanism is crashing down. I believe that men who have their future fortunes and reputations tied to it will become violent or call for violence to keep it together. This is basically how all humanistic socialism is held together. A student of mine once asked me what happens when a U.S. senator leaves office unexpectedly. I said his spot is appointed by the governor. He asked me what would happen if the next two were to leave. I gave him the same answer. What if I say 6 or 12 were to resign in one day? Do you think that there would be a hurry by 6 states to quickly reappoint or to quickly realign? Well, okay, there's several questions in this long email. And I hope to give you some good answers to this, Peter. I appreciate you bringing up some of these important topics on Christian Worldview. But before we do that, it's time for a break, and we're doing real well on our break schedule today, so I'm going to jump to a break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Just answering some of Peter's comments here, which I think were very, very well put in many respects, and also had three different main topics here: the difference between theonomy and liberty of conscience, as well as asking about the whole issue of the social tithe, and then the question about eschatologies. I guess I'll start with social tithe. I think you've made a good case here for there needing to be a social tithe. The reason is you always have people who are not as capable as other folks, and there are poor people. There are people who are truly disabled. And so there always is some need for a social tithe. I think that's right. And I think any time the social tithe comes through the hands of the state, you have corruption, perversion, and injustice, which is what we see going on today. There's no doubt in my mind that God always had in his plan that there would be, that people would be generous, and that's in both the Old and the New Testament. Even if your eschatology is one way or another, whether you're a dispensationalist or New Covenant or a covenant theologian, you're still going to agree that New Testament, from the New Testament evidence alone, generosity and caring for poor people, the widows, and so forth, is an obligation that Christians have, not an obligation that states should be granted by the church. So it's sinful for states to take that on, or for Christians to throw that upon government, or excuse me, the state. So appreciate those comments, and I basically agree. I don't, about the specifics, I don't know. I haven't thought much about actual specific tithes that would be used, but nevertheless, in principle, I'm with you on that. The other stuff, as far as the eschatology position goes, eschatology is a huge piece Especially if you have dispensational eschatology, where people are taught to sit on the sidelines and wait for the rapture, essentially, and not get involved with their world and transform their culture. This is where it gets really serious. The other three views can be transformational. You can have people who believe the dominion mandate and take it seriously and actually try to change their culture, get involved with the political process, get involved with homeschooling, get involved with scouting, whatever it might be, to help change their world around them with the gospel. Not just the gospel message of salvation, but all the other things that are entailed in gospel preaching. In fact, I know some gospel missionaries who understand this well. When they are sent out, it's not just simply to preach and save the soul. It's actually to provide institutions that are godly in a society. And this is what Christians need to be doing. So I'm not sure that it's that necessary that you believe one of the three, historic pre-mill, post-mill, or all-mill. I think that gives you more of a flavored emphasis on what you expect for the future. For instance, if you're a post-millennialist, you're believing that at some point in time there's going to be a massive regeneration of people and they'll have a golden age here on the earth. If you're amillennial, you're going to say, well, we believe we're in kingdom times now, that Christ is ruling because he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and that the world will end in one day. You may not see the optimism that the postmillennialist does, but you may be somewhat optimistic, but not the same level. But still, you're going to be actively involved, not because you hope to bring in a regenerate society, but because God commands you to. And then finally, the premillennial, historic premill person, they have, to me, a very awkward situation, because they actually believe for some reason that they're going to have a fight the entire time, although they can still work to transform. But at some point in the future, you're going to have a thousand-year reign where all of a sudden righteousness dwells, and then at the end, unrighteousness as Satan rises up. And so it's kind of a back-and-forth, kind of an odd deal in some sense, at least from my perspective. But I don't see that those eschatological views have to be necessarily in conflict with one's activist role in society and transforming the world. There is obviously a difference, and it's huge in terms of how you will live your life between postmillennial and dispensational. But with the others, you find pretty much folks all over the map on that. At least I have. I'd like to discuss that with you more, though, and see what your thoughts are on it in more detail. And then finally, you asked the question of the difference between theonomists and liberty of conscience groups. And I've discussed this several times on the show, and see if I can do it real succinctly here. Is in terms of political activism, in terms of people putting forth an effort to transform society, there is at least 80% agreement on the various issues. It's not that there is a great divergence. In fact, in the war for American independence, I think we could make a pretty strong case that theonomists and liberty of conscience people, although they didn't use those rubric and titles at that time, they fought side by side against a common foe. So that's how close they are in terms of the nitty gritty getting down to it. Where they differ is on the finer points of the presuppositions and the theory. The theonomists are always postmillennial. Liberty of conscience could be any, but probably just pre or all mill. That's true. The theonomists actually have a view that the state at one point in time, at some point in the future, will become godly and actually institute God's law as found in the older or newer covenants, as they like to put it, and be able to implement those laws in society. And people will gladly receive it because they'll be generally regenerate. On the other hand, and so they see the state as transformable. The state's a good thing, potentially. Not that it is right now. I don't know any theonomist that thinks George Bush is great or that the American government, maybe there are some, but I don't know any of them personally that think the American government is doing God's work. But potentially, if they see that there is room for this to happen. Those are the two main tenets of it. Liberty of conscience views the state as a competing kingdom, not as a kingdom that can be brought in line with the church and the family to promote God's righteousness or kingdom or anything else in this world, but that it's actually aligned with Satan, and that Satan himself provides the evil nature of the state, and that it becomes part of the unholy trinity along with the devil and false religion. So we look at it as a non-transformable institution that is a violator of God's word perpetually, and there's evidence from history and the Bible support that this would be the correct thesis. Of course, theonomists also have evidence that they use from the scripture to support their thesis, but you asked what the difference is. Fundamentally, that's where the two, it's the hope of what the state could be. The fundamental difference is what the hope of the state could be transformed, if it even exists, and what the role of the state would be in society. There's also some issues about whether Christians should submit to the state, or to what extent. Everybody believes they should submit at some point, but to what extent? And theonomists and liberty of conscience folks would be in wide agreement here. Speed limits or things that they're passively throwing at you. No, you don't think so. Now, you may submit when they're about to, blow your head off. If you don't obey them, that makes sense. But theonomists have a very clear-cut understanding of when you should obey government edicts or state edicts, and that's when they coincide with what the Bible has to say is law. Otherwise, it's just man's law, and it's irrelevant. Liberty of conscience folks are, in practical sense, end up being about the same, because they just don't think that unless the state's about to force something upon them, they have to obey any of it at all. It's all come from a wicked source, and it just can be easily disregarded, whether it's you're driving 70 in a 65, or not coming to a full and complete stop before a stop sign, or not spanking your kids when you're not allowed to, or homeschooling when you're not allowed to. All these things are optional, because you have to stand by your own liberty of conscience, and you have to stand for what's right in your own mind. So that's a quick summary in 3 minutes of what the difference between theonomy and the similarities between the two. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to the last half hour of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in Greenville and Spartanburg, we got 75 degrees. Anderson hanging down with 72, and Clemson 74 degrees today. It'll be partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is at 40%. So if you're still making your way out to work, be prepared for more hot, miserable weather for July. And the Times Examiner is the conservative voice at the Palmetto State. Did you know that? A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. They support home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. Pick up a copy at their at newsstands around Greenville or their offices located at 44 Pine Mill Drive in Greenville. Full year subscription, again, only $25 in-state, $27 out-of-state. That phone number, once again, 864-268-0576. Hope you'll support the Times Examiner. I always enjoy reading the Times Examiner every week when it comes in. I'm enjoying reading right now Edmund Oppitz's book called The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, which is a fascinating discourse between he and a social liberal at Union Theological Seminary in the first chapter. I just read through the first chapter, and the second chapter is going to get more in detail. He's a great author. Good man. Enjoy reading that kind of stuff. We've got a couple other great articles to read here. Who should I pick, Vox Day or Walter Williams? Well, let's go with Vox Day. Young guy, got a funny haircut, but at least it's not long hair, just judging from his picture in there. And, I guess I wouldn't let my kid cut his hair that way. It looks kind of strange. But on the other hand, I'm not in the business of telling people how to cut their hair. So if you got your hair cut weird, don't worry about what I think about you. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, Vox Day, we sure loved what he had to say last time we read him on the air. Can't wait to hear what this one's about. How to save society is his post. One of the great mysteries of modern faith is knowing how and when to act. Unfortunately, God seldom appears as a burning bush. And when he does speak to us, we hear him with our hearts, not our ears. Regardless of whether one believes in an omnidirigent divine, or a God who has created us in his image with a genuinely free will, it can be difficult to know whether we are acting in accordance with his will or simply following the capricious whims of our own. Sometimes the path seems obvious, or is perhaps more commonly the case, obviously wrong. But I have noticed that when God speaks to an individual, he seldom tells him to maintain the status quo. Noah was told to build an ark. Moses was told to go to the promised land. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Daniel was told to abandon his flocks and take up the, or David was told to abandon his flocks and take up the mantle of kingship. Saul was told to stop persecuting the Jesus and to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel. What are the chances God's will for you is to sit humbly in your cubicle and mindlessly pay your taxes and your mortgage while you wait for the sweet release of death? That's pretty good. Now, the liberal theologians are correct in one regard. Jesus Christ was a revolutionary. He overthrew the tyrant, worse than Nero, King George, and Stalin combined when he defeated the prince of this world by means of his death on the cross. And some of us would say, by the way, that Nero, King George, and King George Bush also, and Stalin also were part of Kingdom Satan and satanically. And so overthrowing one was overthrowing the other. But continuing on here, and yet in America, Christians have somehow become the de facto guardians of the middle-class taxpayer's dream. Cleanliness, an adjustable-rate mortgage, and a three-car garage are not next to godliness. They are considered to be rather more important. There is, I submit, more faith in George W. Bush than Jesus Christ in the evangelical wing of the Republican Party. One imagines that Karl Rove will soon prophesy the third coming of the Bush, a king of the South of pure blue blood who will save America from the Scarlet Woman from Arkansas. The world is fallen, damned. Salvation comes through grace alone, not through politicians. That is not to say that Christians should sit idly by, watching in mute dismay as their rights to speech and property are systematically dismantled, as their pastors' sermons are monitored, and as their children are indoctrinated by left-wing pedophile propagandists masquerading as public school teachers. Ooh, gotta love that. Action is required, but it is important to understand that only action on individual level is capable of transforming hearts, and only when hearts are transformed can society be reformed. Change is atomic. Transformation ordered from on high can only go so far, as the communist leadership in country after country has discovered to their displeasure. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs did not change the world. Jobs, thank you. I did not change the world by passing laws and dictating how people would use computers. They realized their visions by transforming it one desktop at a time. So I encourage those Americans who are dismayed by what they see around them to abandon their trust in the saving power of party and politicians and to rely instead on God in guiding their actions. There are a multitude of small steps that you will bring, about atomic change that will leave the indelible mark of those around you. Homeschool your children, or if you already do, learn to encourage other parents who are open to the concept. Take your neighbor to the gun range. It may sound strange, men, but you'll be surprised and discover how many women enjoy target shooting once they give it a shot. Start a Bible study, but invite at least one or two nominal Christians so the focus is on learning God's Word, not wallowing in everyone's feelings about it. Determined to be bold about admitting your beliefs in Jesus Christ when asked to refuse and refuse to hide your face simply because someone might think less of you for it. And most of all, remember that you are not given the spirit of fear, but of victory. The law is nothing before God, nothing before God's law. Christians would, I think, do very well to remember that the Apostle Paul was a serial lawbreaker who would have certainly fallen afoul of three strikes law, and that, like his Lord and Savior, he was executed by the authority of the state. If the Almighty God can use liars, adulterers, cowards, and killers to further his will, he can certainly use you too. You have only but to let him. And Vox Day is a novelist and a Christian libertarian. He's a member of the SFWA Mensa and the Southern Baptist Church. Has been down with Madden since 1992. Well, that's interesting. There's a few Southern Baptists out there that are pretty good, like Bruce Short and Vox Day. Bruce Short wrote The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, and Vox Day, this young man, is doing a good job. We appreciate his comments. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and because of our long break with the Bill of Rights, we're a little over schedule. We're going to jump to a breakdown. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's some more neocon blather for you. Falwell cleared an election statement by Bob Lewis from the Associated Press. Richmond, the Federal Election Commission has cleared the Reverend Jerry Falwell of a charge that he broke federal election law by urging followers last summer to re-elect President Bush, Mr. Falwell's attorney said Monday. Mr. Falwell, the founder of television's long-running old-time gospel hour, was exercising a press exemption that gives him the same right to speak on politics as publishers, columnists, and editorialists, attorney Matthew D. Staver said in a press release. Well, you know what? Under God's word, God's order, politicians or preachers have a right to speak on anything they want to, period. You don't have to be licensed by the state or given permission by the state to criticize evil men. So it doesn't really matter what the FEC or any other government agency says in this respect. That doesn't mean I agree with what Falwell said. I don't. I don't think he should be endorsing George Bush, but I live in America, and I treasure the idea of and the notion of him being able to have free speech. So, there, I'll even let somebody who opposes what I think be able to talk. That's a hard thing for liberals to swallow, isn't it? Well, here's Ann Coulter. Gotta like her. Let's see. I thought this was Ann. Let me see what we got here. There she is. Ann Coulter on the Supreme Court nomination. She says, Souter in Roberts' clothing. Posted July 20th, she writes this, after pretending to consider various women and minorities for the Supreme Court these past few weeks, President Bush decided to disappoint all groups. He just ginned up and nominate a white male. Okay. Does he trust democracy, or will he make all the important decisions for us and call them constitutional rights? Is this what this Roberts will do? I mean, it means absolutely nothing that NARAL and Planned Parenthood attack him. That's Roberts. They also attack Sandra Day O'Connor, Anthony Kennedy, and David Hackett Souter. This would have been the legal equivalent of OJ's acquittal of Johnny Cochran saying, "Hey, I never said this guy was innocent. He's just doing my job. I was just doing my job." And it makes no difference that conservatives in the White House are assuring us that Roberts can be trusted. We got the same exact same assurances from officials working from the last President Bush about David Hackett Souter. I believe their exact words were, "Read our lips. Souter's a reliable conservative." From the theater of absurd category, the Republican National Committee's talking points on Roberts provide us this little tidbit. In the 1965 case of Berry versus Little, Judge Roberts argued free of charge before the D.C. Court of Appeals on behalf of a class of the neediest welfare recipients, challenging a termination of benefits under the District's Public Assistance Act of 1982. I'm glad to hear the man has a steady work record, but how did he make it to the top of his resume? Bill Clinton goes around bragging about that he passed welfare reform, which was admittedly the one public policy success of his entire administration passed by the Republican Congress. But now apparently Republicans want to pretend it's the party of welfare queens. Soon the Republican National Committee will be boasting that Republicans want to raise your taxes and surrender the war on terrorism too. In the Senate, skipping down a little ways, if the Senate were in Democrat hands, Robert would be perfect. But why on earth would Bush waste a nomination on a person who is a complete blank slate when we have the majority in the Senate? Because it tells you who Bush really is. Duh. We also have a majority in the House, state legislature, state governorships, and have won 5 of the last presidential elections, 7 of them of the last 10. We're the Harlem Globetrotters now. Why do we have to play the Washington Generals every week? Skipping it down further, she says, and Bush responds by nominating a candidate who will allow Democrats to avoid fighting on their weakest ground, substance. He has given us a Supreme Court nomination that will placate no liberals and should please no conservatives. Well, no surprise there, if that's indeed the case. Here's another one on the Supreme Court nominees, neocon blather. Leading conservatives praised appellate court Judge John Roberts as an ideological soulmate. Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, which is marshaling support among evangelicals for judicial nominees, says there's no question that President Bush is a promise keeper. Right. The Reverend Lewis P. Sheldon, chairman of the Traditional Values Coalition, described Roberts, who had served for 2 years on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, as an all-star on key social issues such as abortion and same-sex marriage. Conservatives who supported George W. Bush have no reason to be disappointed, Sheldon said. He has more than fulfilled his pledge. Oh, come on. Republicans are in control of the Senate and have the votes to put Roberts on the bench. The result, leading conservatives said Tuesday night, is a watershed moment. He thinks you should just go ahead and overrule Ann Coulter's remarks. White House allies moved quickly to prepare a grassroots-style campaign for press to to press for Robert's confirmation. Conservative group of Progress America created a website, www.judgeroberts.com, featuring a picture of smiling Roberts wearing a black robe, and Melman referred to website as an email to supporters, blah, blah, blah. Most conservatives were happy it wasn't Gonzalez, said David Keene, chairman of the American Conservative Union. He's a nice enough fellow, but conservatives weren't comfortable with him. Yeah, well, duh, seeing he supports a ban on assault weapons, he supports children being able to have abortion without parental consent, and you know, he supports the Patriot Act. I guess you would be uncomfortable with Gonzalez. Yeah, that makes some sense. Well, we're also uncomfortable with anybody George Bush puts up there because he's a liar. He has not fulfilled his promises, and his promises never meant anything at any rate. So what else can you say other than that when it comes to George W. Bush? Well, here's where we're going to close the show today with Walter Williams. Always good to end on a positive note. Future of Freedom Foundation published The Economics for the Citizen. The Economics for the Citizen, Part 1, and we'll go ahead and read this as our economics lesson for the day, unless there's a caller here in the last few minutes. Economics for the Citizen. Last fall semester, I didn't teach for the first time in 37 years. No, I haven't retired. It was my semester off reward for two terms as a department chairman at George Mason University. A break is well-deserved after my chairmanship, a job not unlike that of herding cats. During fall semesters, I typically teach our first-year PhD microeconomics theory course, which I had and was a great course, by the way, one of the best courses I've had in my life. Out of a love for teaching, I've decided not to completely take off, but deliver a few lectures on basic economic principles to my readership. Well, we'll name the series Economics for the Citizen. The first lesson in economic theory is that we live in a world of scarcity. Scarcity is a situation whereby human wants exceed the means to satisfy those wants. Human wants are assumed to be limitless, or at least they don't frequently reveal their bounds. People always want more of something, but it costs, be it more cars, more food, more love, more happiness, more peace, more health care, more clean air, or more charity. Our ability and resources to satisfy all those wants are indeed limited. There's only a finite amount of land, iron, workers, and a years and a lifetime. Scarcity produces several economic problems. What's to be produced, who's going to get it, how it's going to be produced, and when it's going to be produced. For example, many Americans and foreigners would love to have a home or a vacation home along the 1,000 miles of California, Oregon, and Washington coastline. Shipping companies would like to use some of it as ports. The U.S. Department of Defense would also like to use it for military installations. There's simply not enough coastline to meet all the competing wants and uses. That means there's conflict over coastline ownership and uses. There's several methods of conflict resolution. First, there's the market mechanism. Let the highest bidder be the one who owns and decides how the land will be used. Then there's the government fiat, where government dictates who gets to use the land and for what purpose. Gifts might be the way whereby an owner arbitrarily chooses a recipient. Finally, violence is the way to resolve the question, who has the rights to use the coastline? Let the people get weapons and physically fight it out. At this juncture, someone might piously say, violence is no way to resolve conflict. The heck it isn't. The decision of who had the right to use most of the Earth's surface was settled through violence, wars. Who has the right to the income I earn is partly settled through threats of violence. In fact, violence is such an effective means of resolving conflict that most governments want a monopoly on its use. Which is the best method to resolve conflict issues surrounding the questions of what's to be produced, how and when it's produced, and who's going to get it? It's the market mechanism, government fiats, or gifts of violence. Before you attempt an answer, which I'll give the next lecture, be advised that it's a trick question that easily traps many of my teeny bopper sophomore students and even a few graduate students. I personally believe that economics is fun and valuable. People who say they found it a nightmare in college just didn't have a good teacher professor. I became a good teacher professor as a result of tenacious mentors during my graduate study at UCLA. Professor Armin Alshin, a very distinguished economist, used to give me a hard time in class, but one day we were having a friendly chat during our department's weekly faculty graduate student coffee hour, and he said, "Williams, the true test of whether someone understands this subject is whether he can explain it to someone who doesn't know a darn thing about it. That's a challenge I love, making economics fun and understandable." And by the way, the answer to his question, folks, is the market mechanism is the best way. In case we don't get the second article here for some reason, the market mechanism is the best way for us to solve conflict problems. Let the price system dictate it, not government fiat, not violence, and not giving gifts or payoffs and bribes and so forth to friends through the political process. Always works out the peaceful solution through markets, at least a whole lot more peaceful, at the very least, a whole lot more peaceful than using government solutions. And appreciate Walter's comments this morning, giving us some basic economics lesson. Well, I hope you visit tyrannyresponse.com soon, fill out the petition for the South Carolina Fundamental Rights, and also visit some of the other things there, including our audio files, the lectures we have on public policy theology. Take advantage of these great tools there, and we'll hope to see you tonight at the League of the South meeting, or if you can, the Constitution Party meeting. And we're going to be signing off now from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until tomorrow, have a great day, and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.